Oh, you the voice?
Nah, not me.
So if you're not the voice, who is?
The people, man. The people's the voice.
So what does that make you?
That makes me the middleman. I'm the middleman.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Middleman Podcast. I am Man in the Middle, Kevin Martinez, and today I am joined by Hoodie Hardaway.
What's up, y'all?
Welcome to the Middleman Podcast, Hoodie Hardaway.
Thank you.
Also known as, you mind if I say your government real quick? Yeah. All right. Also known as Malachi. So thank you for being here. Hoodie Hardaway is an artist. He is a musical artist, and I appreciate you being readily available to come and join the podcast. Because you know, you and I, we've spoken for quite some time before we actually made the show happen, and I just wanted to know, what piqued your interest to join the Middleman Podcast out of all the other shows?
Definitely, I saw Harrison. Shout out North Star. I saw him on here. And I was like, seems like a cool platform, nice to network with, you know what I'm saying? Somebody that I already know, trusted, was on there. So I was like, for sure, I definitely want to tap in and show love.
Shout out to Mr. North Star, Harrison, always doing your thing. He's right up there. He's right up there on the sign, right there, North Star. He was here. One hell of an episode. So thank you for coming to Middleman Podcast. That's cool that, you know, the way of networking is actually doing what it's supposed to do. You know, you found out of the podcast through another person in the area. And I would say you're from this area, the Scranton area, correct?
Yeah.
Cool. So that means that the mission of expanding out to Scranton is working from a Middleman Podcast standpoint. And that's just because I'm from the Poconos, you know, like Mount Pocono.
Oh, okay.
So I'm not from this area. So trying to get people from this area is really cool, you know. So thank you for having an interest in joining the show here, my friend. I've seen that you were a part of two other shows. Okay, you were a part of the Trudy show.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, episode one, Trudy.
Shout out to Rodney.
She was over there at Encore Studios, which ironically, I do know that studio. I do know that studio owner. Is she still doing her show?
Is Uraldi still doing her show?
Yeah. The Trudy show?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, cool. Yeah, I saw that you did that. Is that your first interview?
No, I did one before that. Mm. I did one with Jack Swish and Scoobity.
Okay. I saw that one too. Yeah, okay. Yeah. So
those are the only two I've done, though, I'm pretty sure.
Scoobity was your first interview. And when did that happen?
I want to say like maybe a little over a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know. Time is a blur recently. I just be working, and it's just like, because like even from when I started making music to like now, it's only really been, not like when I started, but when I started really like getting into it, probably like 2 years. It feels like way shorter than that. Like, so probably like a little bit over a year ago, but I could be way off, to be honest.
Gotcha. Yeah, the Scoobity podcast. That was an interesting one. I'm not going to lie. From a podcast standpoint, right? From a podcasting standpoint, I'm looking at this, and I'm like, that's an interesting name. First of all, what's up with that name? Do you know? Is it their last name or something?
It's just something, just a word that Jack and his friends came up with, I'm pretty sure, one day, and then they just ran with it. And Scoobity and Doobity, I'm pretty sure. Doobity means, like, the bad, and Scoobity means the good.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just all about balance.
Ah, okay. That's very interesting. So they just kind of created their own terminology
Yeah.
Very interesting. It was a little bit of a wacky podcast. It was very interesting, man. So there was that one, and then the Trudy show. So you've done two interviews. This is your third one, correct?
Yeah.
Well, anyway, welcome, man. Pioneer.
I did a street interview too with somebody in New York City, just like a little street interview thing. His name's slipping my mind right now, but that was another one too. Shout out to him.
So you're always looking for opportunities such as these.
Yes, absolutely, 100%.
That's good on you, man, because, you know, a lot of people, they say they're serious about something, but then, you know, they won't go out and search for opportunities such as these. So good on you, man. And especially, you know, at a young age of 21, you're doing your thing, bro. So respect.
Absolutely. I appreciate that.
No doubt. So from those interviews, okay, a common question that everyone asks is the name, right? The name. So I'm just going to go ahead and say what you said about your name, Hoodie Hardaway, okay? And it seems like the hoodie part of it has to do with a fashion, as well as you love wearing hoodies like you're wearing one right now.
Yes, all the time.
Even in the summer?
Even in the summer, yes.
That's wild.
I work in a garage, like, and I wear hoodies in there. It'd be summer, and I'm in a garage working with a hoodie on.
That's crazy. That's
my boss be yelling at me.
That's respected commitment to the game, bro.
It was before the name, though. I've been like my mom always used to yell at me, take that hoodie off. It's 85 degrees outside. Like, I don't know what it is. I feel like it just completes something.
It's a comfortability thing.
Yeah.
I feel
like I'm ready for anything, you know? Like,
the always, watch.
Yeah.
I agree, though.
I don't feel right without it.
Okay.
You know?
No, I know a few people like that. I know someone, his name is Monk. We call him Monk. And he always wears a beanie.
Yeah.
You'll never catch him without a beanie.
Like always, yeah.
I'm like, oh, we got hair under there or what? Because I don't know. I really don't. It's funny that you say that, though, because now you mention it, it's real. You need those little things in your wardrobe that make you feel complete, all right? Yeah. So yours is a hoodie.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to go ahead and share mine. People pick on me because of this shit. I wear long socks. I don't wear fucking ankle socks.
Oh, no, of course not. What?
Is that weird?
Who wears ankle socks?
It's not weird at all.
I'm sorry for anybody that wears ankle socks. I did, like, that was a thing that I feel like as soon as, like, I started playing basketball and all that, though, like, once I started getting that was out the window. Like, I could never be on court with ankle socks. It just wouldn't even feel right.
Exactly.
So then from then on, it just kind of stayed like that. I'll never, yep.
Always. Long socks always. And I'll tell you what, bro, this shit ain't Nike. It's fucking generic ass Hanes.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Get Hanes. I'll get the champion ones, Nike ones, whatever. They used to rob us for those elites, man.
Crazy.
$16 to $20 for one pair of socks.
I used to ride or die for them, too. Yeah. And it was a big fashion trend. Yeah. It was a big fashion
with
statement.
The KDs. Oh, man.
So that's pretty funny. Yeah, no, long socks all the way, even in Crocs. Long socks even in Crocs.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I have yet to actually own a pair of Crocs, believe it or not. I want one, though.
Yeah.
I want a pair. I mess with Crocs heavy. I just never, every time I see them, I'm just like, I'll wait, I'll get them. And I just never end up getting around to it, but I definitely do need a pair of Crocs.
Invest in a pair of Crocs and make sure you know the difference between sport mode and not in sport mode.
Yeah.
It's definitely an important factor. You know, if you're ever going to be in a fight, it's important wearing in sport mode. I don't know this from personal experience, but I will tell you that I have almost gotten into two fights wearing Crocs. And I'm like, dude, what the fuck? Like, why is it always this footwear?
Yeah,
I'm not
right.
even.
Yeah, it's always though. That's not. Yeah, it's always the one you're like, damn, knees right now, right here. Always.
So. We have the Hardaway part of your name here, okay? And from what I was gathering from the interviews, it has to do with a big basketball influence.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I love basketball heavily. Surprisingly, though, baseball is, like, my number one sport. Like, that's what I played the most. That's, like, what I was into the most growing up. But basketball definitely is, like, a big part of, like, why I became who I became, I think, for sure. Like, I knew that I wanted to do something in the public eye, for sure, after I started, like, playing basketball, being on sports teams and all that. I enjoyed pressure. I enjoyed, like, people, you know, like, counting on me to do things. Like, I enjoyed it. It made me, like, work harder to do things. So, for sure, basketball is huge in, like, just my development in general. And then just, like, yeah, Penny Hardaway just it's cold.
That was my question, yeah, was the cold. Significance of the Hardaway. And honestly, yeah. I think within those two interviews that you did, I don't think you ever mentioned that part, the Penny Hardaway,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
and then...
Cold.
There we go. We finally have the answer.
Slept on.
Because there's a few Hardaways in the league, bro.
Yeah,
I'm like, wait,
yeah,
is it Tim Hardaway?
Yeah.
Which Hardaway are we looking at, you know? So, okay, so you got the Hardaway because you thought that he was cold and you felt like that was something that you wanted to incorporate within your music and within your name?
Yeah, 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 for
okay.
sure.
Gotcha. What is your favorite basketball team?
The Chicago Bulls.
The Bulls.
Yeah.
Miami Heat,
Been
baby.
A Bulls fan, too, for even for the bad years. And it was bad. Very bad.
Miami Heat, my friend.
Yeah.
Miami and
you were at least you were here for your run.
Mm-hmm.
I have to just watch like throwbacks. Like I was here for the D Rose thing a little bit, but even that it wasn't the same, you know. We didn't really win.
100%, man. So in the interview with Trudy, okay, with the Trudy show, right? You said something pretty intriguing and something that I could respect from an artist standpoint and just seeing how your mind works, right? So in this interview I have it verbatim here. You mentioned she basically asks you, what's, like, your sound, right? Or do you work with other producers? Do you work in other, I don't know, studios, so on and so forth with other producers? And you were like, right now, I'm not, okay? And the reason you said that is because you were trying to figure out your sound, okay?
Yeah.
And something that you said was, if you are an artist and you are still figuring out your sound, it is best to do that on your own, which I thought that was smart that you even thought of it that way because you mentioned that the producer has their sound.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, not every producer is going to produce, let's say you want a trap beat, you're going to go to that trap producer. You want a melodic lo-fi beat, you're going to go to that producer, so on and so forth. But if you walk in a room and you don't know your own identity as an artist, how do you expect to collab with other producers when you're just wasting their time?
Exactly.
You know, you're just wasting their time. So I thought that was really cool, real smart and considerate of you to understand that even at the early age that I'm still figuring out my sound.
Yeah.
So now it's been possibly about like a year and a half, maybe 2 years since you've done that Trudy interview,
yeah.
Right? Have you figured out your sound yet?
I'm close, I think. The problem is I like blending all types of different genres. So I have an R&B project out. So I really like R&B. That's a huge influence in the way I make music for sure. Just the inspiration. I love Brent Faiyaz. I like Ray J, all that, even the throwbacks, all that stuff is so R&B is huge for me. Punk rock, I grew up listening to a lot of Nirvana, a lot of Green Day, mm-hmm. all that. So a lot of that, just guitar. So it's hard to really find one specific sound, but I think I have it to the point where I can get it. So I have an audience that tunes in for this, an audience that tunes in, because that's really, I just want to be versatile enough where everybody can at least, even if it's one song in my entire catalog, somebody has something that they can relate to, or that's something that reminds them of something that they grew up listening to, or because nostalgia is big for me. That's why I try to get nostalgia. A lot of samples I use are from old shows and stuff, and a lot of people might not even notice them. They're so in the background, but if I pointed it out, you'd be like, wow, that's a trash bag going into the can from Cat Dog. Stuff like that.
Oh, okay.
And it subconsciously does it to people too. It's this sounds oddly familiar, but they have no idea what it is.
Okay.
So all that type of stuff is huge. I think I'm at the point where I'm really more so leaning towards the R&B side. I feel like I've gotten more opportunities on the R&B side when I'm more melodic. I don't really like rapping per se.
Mm-hmm.
I like more the singing, more being melodic, different tunes. Stuff like that, messing with my voice differently, different auto tunes, different keys, all that.
Yeah, I did notice that there is a heavy auto tune presence within your music. It's not a bad thing, you know. I would definitely describe your music as melodic.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, very melodic. But I do see what you're saying when it comes to having samples from back in the day. You know, you did send me a few really unreleased tracks, we'll get into later. Yeah. But a few of these unreleased tracks, they had well-known rock, you know, Walk This Way from Run DMC. Yeah. You know, you're referencing that, you know, so it's cool to see that that is in your bag and in your development. And I know you mentioned in one of the interviews that, you know, your mother was very young when she had you, so she kept you pretty hip.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah, for sure. I'm a 90s baby at heart. Everything... That's where the R&B influence came from a lot. My mom had me in the car listening to everything. I mean, even G-Unit, everything, Eminem, all that. So, that's why I definitely feel the versatility came from. And then, my grandma, too, is complete. She's from Honesdale.
Mm.
So, she's watching Gunsmoke and listening to it. So, it's crazy. I even just started recently just, delving into country a little bit.
Oh, yeah?
Just messing around with it for a little bit just to see what I could do with it.
Creating country.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
That's interesting. Okay. So you do you ever think you're going to fine tune that country?
I want to.
Right?
It's fun. I like the guitar beats. That's the thing. I love guitars. I try to stay away from pianos.
Mm.
I can't get down with piano and trumpets and stuff like that. Those are the only two things that I really like guitars. So the country music, some of the melodies that they have with the guitars is just amazing.
So you stay away from the piano?
I try to. It depends.
Okay.
Sometimes it depends on some things are too piano-ish. There's I'm not sure if you know who Givian is. There's that type of piano, and then there's Polo G piano. There's two different, you know, but I don't really like the big grand, horns and trumpets in the background and stuff like that. I try to stay away from that. I like more mellow stuff.
You like to ride with the flow.
Yeah, yeah.
You like to ride
find
with the flow.
Find pockets and stuff in the beat.
100%.
I don't like to just... I try to rap with the beat,
mm-hmm.
not on it.
Mm-hmm.
I just go wherever the beat takes me.
I see that.
Because I don't really write. I punch in. So I pretty much just I'll lay down a line and then I won't even write anything about after that. I'll just punch in the next line, punch in the next line, punch in the next line, and it's all coming off the top of my head. So it's kind of like a freestyle, but not really.
What do you mean by punch in? I think you're the first person who I've ever had a conversation with to refer it as a punch in. What do you mean by that?
So I'll play the beat and I'll let the beat play for a while. I'll probably just mumble to myself, mumble just flows, melodies, just trying to get all right, what do I, and then once I figure out the flow or the melody that I want to go for, I find something oh, that's catchy, then I'll put words to it. So I might write down one line, two lines, maybe at most just to get me started. But then after that, it's kind of just trial and error. I'll let those two lines play out. And then after those two lines that I just recorded play out, I'll just come off the top of my head with something. And it might not even make sense that time.
Mm.
But if it doesn't make sense, I cut it and I play it back and say the next thing that I think that is going to come to my head, you know, and it's just a trial and error thing. And then eventually you have a whole song that's just different little pieces put together. So I feel like a lot of people do try to do stuff at one breath. And that's you'll hear sometimes in my music, like I'll still have this line going and I'll overlap it. Like I'll start the next line. You can't humanly, it's not humanly possible to talk over yourself. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So,
like stuff like that, you catch pockets and create flows that you couldn't even humanly do before.
That's interesting. Yeah, I've never, so like the way I picture you in a studio, right? I picture you, you said you talked about the flow, right? You know, like let's say you say a verse and it's not really reaching with you at that time, you know, like at least you have the harmony of it, right?
Yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah. That's, you at least can always have the change pitch. The words. Yeah, yeah, for sure. I feel like people focus too much on what they're going to say and not enough on melody. Because if you ask a casual music listener too, 95% of the time what they're going to say they like about a song is the beat,
yeah,
and the melody. True. They're not really listening to the words. There's very few people. There is people out there. Like, I'm one of those people. The words for me is the biggest part, like what you're saying. But also, though, you could say, like, you could say nothing too and it'd still be good. So it just depends. It's all about your delivery, really. I feel like delivery is big.
No, I agree with you. I understand what you're saying. I'm one of those lyricists, you know. I like lyricists. So I like to listen to lyrics and really analyze and see what they're saying and talking about. But with you, I noticed that you had the melody, you had the flow, you had filling in the pockets, which reminds me of a guest we had in the past, his name is Summer Knight. You know, and I was like, yo, bro, like, I was trying to analyze, because when I do musical artists, when I tap in with a musical artist, I try to analyze what their words and what they're saying. But sometimes it's impossible for me to do that,
yeah,
because I get lost in a melody.
Yeah.
So that's another thing that was happening with you, you know, with your music, so on and so forth. So if you're trying to hit the melody, and it's funny that you say that if you ask any casual listener, they're going to say the beat, and it's shitty, but it's fucking true. It's shitty, but it's true. And
the producer is usually the person who gets some of the least respect in the industry, which is crazy because, like I said, 95% of the people are listening to music because of the beat.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I wonder if that's ever going to change. I wonder if that's ever going to change, like, even the narrative. Because I feel like back then, and I'm talking back then, because I recently just got into Wu-Tang.
Oh, yeah.
Okay?
Love Wu-Tang.
I'm uncultured. I'll be honest with you.
I love Wu-Tang.
So I just recently got into Wu-Tang, right? I'm watching the Wu-Tang Saga. I'm like, this shit's tough.
It's amazing.
I'm like, this shit's tough. I'm learning their music, stuff like that. And, you know, like, their words were crazy. Like,
oh, yeah. That's another thing, too. Like, a lot of people think that, like, this drugs stuff is new. Like, a lot of the older people love to say, like, oh, back in my day, it wasn't cool if you were doing drugs. It wasn't cool. Like, Wu-Tang was smoking, like, PCP. Like, they mention it all the time in the songs, like, that they were smoking PCP, they were doing all these drugs and everything. That's why it's like, you know, I think about it all the time. I'm like, yeah, a lot of the stuff hasn't changed. It's just that people got older and matured. So now the stuff that these younger people are doing, it's the same thing that they were doing back then. They're old now. They got older. They got more mature. They're like, all right, that wasn't cool. And now they don't think, you know, same thing about us. It's not much different.
It happens, man. It happens 110%, man. It happens a lot. You know, even now, I'm at this point where I'm looking at shit that I used to do, and I'm like, damn, that shit's not even cool.
All the time, man.
It's
all
foolish.
The time.
It's foolish when you look back and you're like, fuck. It's like, I did that shit.
You just got to be glad you learned early, though, because some people never learn at all, you know? Some people, or it's too late. Some people make the mistake that's too big before they can fix it.
Gotcha. So you have two albums. Well, all right, so I'm going to say you have two albums out.
The one is kind of just, I use the same picture just to get a whole bunch of my old SoundCloud music onto Apple and Spotify. I just needed a picture for it, so I just threw them all up there. I only have, like, one real project. That's, like, the R&B one.
Yeah, that's the R&B.
That's, like, the one I actually put together.
So I want to talk about maybe your top track right now, which is Project X.
Yeah.
Okay, Project X. When did you release that song?
2020. On SoundCloud?
Mm-hmm.
I want to say 2021. Like, that was one of my first songs where I was like, all right, this is actually a decent song. The quality of it right now, if you go back, is not anywhere near as good as the quality of my music now. But you could tell that it was there. Like, what I wanted to do, I was coming into my own, like, the rock sound, the guitar sound a little bit. That was, like, the first song I ever made like that. That was, like, straight guitar, like, punk rock type sound. And you know what I'm saying? That was the first one I ever did like that.
So that song, like, really took off, you know, as far as your other tracks and so on and so forth. So do you often find yourself trying to recreate that sound to try to recapture that type of attention that you received from the audience?
I this is funny, all right, because I don't like that song, right? That and this okay. is normal from what I from what I've seen. Like most artists, like Juice WRLD said, he hates Lucid Dreams, right? Like all the songs that people seem to, I don't hate it. I just like I said, the quality. I wish I knew what I knew now about engineering that I did, like that I didn't know back then. Because if I knew all that stuff that I knew now back then, that song would have sounded so much better. I think the words were good. I think the flow was good. I think the sample, everything was good. It's just the quality.
Gotcha.
It was too much reverb. That, and I know exactly what I did wrong, too.
Would you ever go back and rework that project?
Yeah, I actually am working on doing that right now because I'm doing a music video for it.
So. I was going to follow up on that, too. I was going to say, yeah, I saw you mentioned you had a music or you were working on a music video, but then I was looking through your page and everything. I couldn't find it, so it never came to fruition.
I still got to do a little bit more filming, and then like there's one more day of filming. We got to do green screen filming, and then we're done.
That's tough, man. Yeah. Good on you. So you're trying to rework the track.
Yeah.
You were saying that back then it wasn't the best quality, right?
Yeah.
I know I heard you saying on a Scoobity podcast that you used to record on your phone and with some headphones in, and you were releasing a lot of your tracks like that, and you would say, it's listenable. That's like when people ask me, like, oh, how's your cooking? I'm like, it's edible. Yeah. You know, like, you can eat it. You can eat it, but... So, are you still? You're not working on your phone anymore.
Depends.
Sort of. Yes.
I've learned enough about engineering at this point. I feel like I could record on a potato and make it sound decent.
Okay.
Like it's all trial and error. Like some songs still, I'm a little shaky on, but I feel like the last mixtape I put out, last project, and then like the last couple singles I put out after that, like the quality is pretty good. I'm not going either for completely fresh studio. I want my vocals to be a little raw for a reason. That's why I turn the reverb up a little bit, just so that like it still comes through as a little, like, you know, like almost like a, I'm trying to think of who else does it, like almost like a, like I said, like rock kind of, like you know how rock, how the filters on people's voices when they used to do rock, like it was more like scratchy a little bit, like that. I'm trying to incorporate that into R&B in a way, so I do like to leave it a little bit muddy, but not too much to the point where it's like sounds bad in people's speakers.
It gives it that nostalgia
that
you're looking for. Yeah. So I see what you're saying. You know, it sounds like you're working, you're orienting things the way that you want it, you know? So when you create these, do you find these beats? Do people send them to you? How do you usually go about it? You know, you're learning about engineering. Are you self-generating these beats?
It's a majority of both. I get beats on Instagram sometimes from people. Sometimes I go on YouTube like everybody else. It's normal. It all depends on how I'm feeling. I have a manager at the moment. His name's Sam Rothman. Shout out Underground Network.
Underground Network. I have that. So let's tap into Underground while we're here, though. Yeah. You know, but continue as you were saying.
He will find me beats and stuff. We have producers in house and stuff that all work part of the team. They all just make beats and send them to me and Almighty J Bird, too, is another artist on the group. So I usually get beats from him, or I'll get beats from YouTube. Just depends on how I'm feeling.
So it's Underground Network, Underground Network, and you are affiliated with them. You would say that this person is your manager.
Yeah.
About how many people are associated with Underground Network?
As of right now, we got about two producers. We got a social media manager. Then we got Sam. That's like he runs the page. And then Jay Bird. And I'm pretty sure, that's just me and him on the artists for right now.
Okay.
Yeah. There was people that have come and gone throughout, but we're about the two that have stuck through the entire time.
Is this a pretty fresh movement?
For me, yeah, somewhat. They've been doing what they've been doing for a while now, doing promotion and everything like that. I just recently tapped in with him not too long ago. He's from Jersey, so.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's not too far. But I just recently tapped in with him not too long ago, and he started giving me strategies and stuff like that, helping me. Because the problem is, like, I'll make the music, but then once I make it, it's hard to put it, like, promo together, as in, like, all right, now what? Like, I don't just want to post it to TikTok. I don't want to post it to Instagram. Just post it to Facebook. So, like, he really helps me, like, break it down into, like, a real structure. Like, all right, like, this first week leading up to release, like, real, like...
It's real a rollout process.
Yeah. And this is, like, my first time really getting involved with stuff like that, so it's definitely helps a lot, for sure. He does a lot. He gets me a lot of connections. I actually tapped in with one of Trippie Redd's A&Rs from him. He actually put me in contact because he had an interview with one of them. So he put me on his name as Hitmaker on Instagram. He like is one of the ones who was like helping Trippy get on God's plan with Drake and everything like that. Not my manager wasn't, but the dude that my manager knows, yeah. So he's already put me in contact with some pretty big people. He's definitely has his head down. He'd be working hard.
That's pretty dope, man. And who would have thought, you know, looking back at your journey, right?
Yeah.
Looking back at your journey, how do you feel knowing that you have been fortunate enough to land a collaboration just like that, just like being affiliated with them? You know, how does that feel?
Amazing, because I didn't put in a lot of work. And some people that don't know me, they might think that, like, this a lot of this stuff came out of nowhere. Because, like I said, I really just started taking this stuff, like, serious, probably in the last 2 years. So, like, people knew I made music or whatever, but they didn't really think about it like that.
Excuse me. Let me interrupt. What made it feel serious for you? Like, what?
That's the weird thing. I have no idea. Like, literally no idea. Mm-hmm. It just, one day, I downloaded an app on my phone. I made a song. And I was... It was weird because everything kind of happened where, like, I had no choice. Like, COVID had happened,
Sorry. Just be careful with moving to the side because you're starting to fade off a little bit.
So, COVID, everything was going on still. Everything, like, locked down, all that. So, I was talking to a specific person at the time, and then I was just real focused because I wasn't, like, going out messing around doing shit I was doing before. So, I was like, all right. Let me just download this app. And I literally made one song, and it was like unlike anything I've ever made before. Like, I don't know if I just got lucky or what. I put on a beat. It was like an R&B type beat. I started singing, and I sent it to the person I was talking to at the time, and they were like, yo, this is really good. And that was the first time I ever like genuinely felt like somebody wasn't lying. You know what I'm saying? Because especially women will not lie to you. They will tell you the truth before you have the clout. Once you have the clout, they'll lie to you. But when you don't have the clout, if you're trash, they'll tell you you're trash. They're not scared of the confrontation.
Huh.
That's the difference. Like, they're not worried about what you're going to do to them if they say your music's trash. Guys will just lie to you because they're scared a lot of times. It's a whole different dynamic. When women, they usually won't lie to you. So once I started getting girls to tell me that, like, oh, this is a good song, like, and you could see too, they're like, surprised. They're like, they went into it like, oh, corny SoundCloud rapper, huh? Mm-hmm. And then they're like, oh my god, this is good. Like, you could tell the difference. It's genuine. The shock is genuine. That's when I was like, all right, I gotta keep working at this, because that's a sign. That's something big.
That's a funny introspective look on things. I guess I'll have to keep that in mind. Mike, what do you think? Do women tell the truth all the time?
I don't know, that was a bold statement, not gonna lie.
You don't think so?
Bro, I saw him shaking his head.
You don't think so?
I saw him shaking his head. That's why I was like,
I don't know, man. I know some mean girls, man, that won't. Here's the thing too, I see how they act towards other people.
Okay.
You get what I'm saying? Like, they're not afraid to be like, they're not people pleaser type people, you know what I'm saying? Like, they've like, they'll make fun of somebody. Like, they're not, you know what I'm saying?
I gotcha.
And like, those type of people, like, the people who go into it ready to judge you, ready, like, oh, yeah, he's corny, blah, blah, blah. When you see the switch, like I said, though, and it's usually women for me that are like, oh, yeah, you make music? Oh, yeah, well, let me hear. And then they're like, oh, wow, this is actually good. But like I said, a guy's usually like, you know, it's hard. Every time. This is hard.
She's pretty tough, bro. Yeah. She's pretty tough.
It's good. It's good.
All right. That's funny, man. So back to your music here, Project X. I thought that was pretty funny. That's not one of your favorite songs. It's actually probably one of your least favorite.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know, as you mentioned, that is common within some artists. You know, Tyler the Creator, I think it was Yonkers, right?
Yeah.
He's like, bro, like, the song's fucking trash.
Yeah.
You know, like, but here it is. It blew him up. You know, people who you idolize. You know, like Lil Uzi Vert, right?
Yeah.
Trippy Red. What is it about those artists that, you know, you're so drawn to? Would you even care to say that maybe you try to copy maybe their flow or style?
All right. So Uzi, Yachty, like that whole 2016 era was super influential for me. Like that, all of them. Yachty is my number one of all time. 100%. Like, Yachty is, I think he's a genius.
Respect.
I think he's very, very ahead of his time. And Uzi, like, I wasn't too much into Uzi. I'm more into Uzi now than I was then, but I definitely do take influence from them. Not, I wouldn't say so much like try to copy them, but like for example, like Yachty just dropped like a psychedelic rock album recently. Like it's more like Tame Impala type. So I started after I heard that, I was like, all right, let me see what I could do with some of this weird voice stuff. So I take inspiration for sure, 100%. But Yachty is my all-time, like, he's one of my biggest influences. Chance the Rapper, he's another one. Like, Coloring Book, that album is amazing to me. That, like, front to back, I can listen to that thing over and over and over again. That was the first time I was conscious of music. Like, I heard that project, and I was like, oh, my God, like, I like music. Mm-hmm. Like, music is really, like, this is, like, talking to me right now. Like, I can, like, I actually understood what he was saying. Like you said, I, like, started to listen to the words. I was like, all right, this is really good. So that right there, one day, I was just like, I could do this. It's like, he's doing this. And I never made the connection. Like, all right, all these rappers, all these artists, even actors, whoever, like, we could do that. Like, I used to separate it in my head. Like, it wasn't like we weren't the same. And I was like, wait a minute. If he's doing this, I can do this. Anybody could do this. So that was that whole 2016 era just made me. And they were so young. They were so young. They were like 18 years old. That was like, we didn't see that much before mm-hmm. that. A lot of people were like 27, 26 years old when they blew up. So it was like, it hit close to home almost. It was like we watched these people grow up and we watched them learn. We watched, and I was like, this is definitely possible. If some 17-year-old in Atlanta can do this out of his bedroom, there's no way, like, anybody could do it.
I agree, man. That's why I often say, why not me? It's one of the things that I say is, yeah. Why not me? You know, why can't I? And, you know, I just want to backpack on what you said earlier about just being able to, when you look at people and you see them like little, like artists, like Lil Uzi, you know, so on and so forth, and you're looking at them, and you're like, you said you used to separate them from, like, not being human, in a sense. You know, and 100%. There's a lot of people who do that, and it's unbelievable when people do that, because it's like, yo, that person's still human, 110%.
Yeah.
You know, like, you and I, we're still human. You know, you often say that music is your therapy, that you're talking about shit that really happened to you.
Yeah.
That is actually, and it's helping you in a mental manner to keep yourself sane, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so for people to think that just because you get money is success, or whatever you judge success on,
mm-hmm.
you know, like, for people to think that you aren't a person is ignorant. It's stupid. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
You know, understand that person is still a person. They still have a family. They still got a heartbeat just like you do. You know, just because they got money doesn't mean shit. You know, yeah. They still got a heartbeat just like you do.
And that's one big thing that, that's why I've been trying to work on my mental a lot recently, because I'm working so hard for this goal right now, which is like just to be able to help my family, help, like, not have to work anymore, just do everything that I need to do, take care of everybody with this music stuff. And my thing is, like, I'm so focused on that right now that I don't even have time to, like, be depressed, anxious, any of that, because I'm just so focused on this. But once I get to that point and it's all, I did it, I can sit back and I still feel like that,
mm-hmm.
that's scary, because now what?
Now what?
There's nothing to fill that hole. I filled the hole. It's still that, you get what I'm saying? So it's like that's something that I definitely am conscious of, and I try to fix that problem. You know what I'm saying? Like, any type of underlying issues that I still have holding on to, I want to get rid of them before I get to a point so that I don't think that the money is going to solve it. And then turns out it doesn't, because then it hurts 10 times worse,
because mm-hmm.
you got everything and you're still not. You're like, what could possibly be the issue?
Yeah, filling the void, right? Filling the void. So here's the thing, is like, I learned that when you go searching for something, right, when you expect a sense of achievement when you complete a task, and you do not get that sense of achievement when you complete that task, although you've been telling yourself that it's going to be great when you finish that task, right? Yeah. When that happens, I've had that moment happen to me, and I was like confused, bro. I was baffled.
Yeah.
I was like, and honestly, it was after the first episode launch of this podcast.
Mm-hmm.
I remember talking to my buddy, and I was like, yo, bro, I don't know why I don't feel happy. Like, I don't feel, like, excited.
All the time, man. All the time.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, after having a conversation with him, we shot the shit, had a good time, laughed. I realized this is what makes me happy. It's just being out here with the people.
You know? You got to live in it. You got to really take it in, and because even me, I feel like I'd be living too fast sometimes with it, and I don't give myself a chance to sit back and be like, wow, you're on Instagram Live with people that you used to listen to in high school. Like, you're you got songs with people that you looked up to. Like, it's a lot. But then, like I said, though, it's like I don't want to ever get comfortable. I don't want to ever get stagnant. None of this is, I'm still got a long, long way to go. But I've done things in 2 years that have blown my mind, and still, like I thought it would feel more than it does. Like, so I'm kind of already ready for that. If, like, you know what I'm saying? When that time comes, like, I'm kind of already ready for it not to really mean too much. Like, I feel like the stuff that's going to mean more is, like I said, like seeing my mom not have to go to work, stuff like that. Like,
100%.
That's the stuff that's going to matter.
So I think about maybe less than the completion factor, you know, not enjoying the completion factor of the project, enjoying the creation factor.
Yeah,
of the project.
That's one thing that I definitely have strayed away from. I used to like love the actual creation of music. I still do,
mm-hmm.
but it feels more like a job now.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it feels more like but it's not like, I still don't, like, I love doing it. Like, I enjoy it. It relieves my stress. It helps me. It calms me down. But I know now that I have to be serious about it. You know what I'm saying? Before, I was kind of just having fun with it, and I'm still having fun with it. But like I said, now it's more like, all right, like, you got to be serious. You got to do this. You know what I'm saying?
That's what I'm saying. I don't want people to get it twisted to say that I'm not, you know, having a great time doing this podcast,
yeah.
You know, after I release an episode. Yeah, I'm excited as fuck. I actually say that Fridays are what I live for. Like,
yeah.
You're not fucking up my Friday because we just released a podcast mm-hmm. that day, you know? And it was just like, that's just it. You know, I think I honestly really do enjoy the creation process more than the completion process, because no matter what, it's always going to be completed, 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 completed. Mm-hmm. It's not going to end. It's going to keep fucking going, you know? So it's the action, the doing the podcast, the figuring stuff out, mm-hmm. you know, the being able to sit back and be like, fuck, I just figured that out. That's amazing.
Yeah,
you know,
the learning. I love that part of it. Like, when I'm making music and I like catch a new pocket in a beat, or I like figure something new out engineering wise, like I can get my voice to this pitch and it sounds like that, like all that type of stuff. I'm like I just posted on my Snapchat the other day, like it was just me like just vocalizing, just like mumbling stuff or whatever. And I had found a certain flow, and like you could hear the audible. I was like, oh my God. Like, I that's the best part of it. Like, the dopamine I get from that is crazy. It's like literally like a high. Like, when you just find that flow and you're just like, yeah, this is crazy. Like, I can't believe sometimes I'm thankful. I'm like, yo, thank God I decided to record tonight.
Yeah.
Sometimes. Cause I'm like, I don't know if I would have did this tomorrow or the night after.
So if Project X is not one of your favorite songs, do you have a favorite song? Do you have a top song that's out, or maybe one that is unreleased that you would care to share for the people when they're getting ready to listen to new music coming from you? Or maybe you can share both, one that's already out and one that's unreleased.
One that's already out for sure. I like Hoodie Vision. People tell me they like that one a lot. People that's the only other one besides Project X that I hear the most. Like, people have their niche songs from me that they like a lot, that they like caters kind of to what they listen to. Like I said, I try to be versatile. Mm-hmm. But those ones, it seems like everybody, like, it's a general consensus, most people like those two the most. But unreleased, definitely. I got a song with Jace he's from like Slay World and all that, but that was huge for me because he was a huge inspiration for me. Like, I was listening to him for probably like a year and a half straight, just like listening to him, trying to, you know what I'm saying? And then finally just the network opened up, he posted an opportunity, and I was able to make it happen. So
that's awesome,
that
man.
One's definitely one of my favorites. It's unreleased, but it's coming. I'm trying to save it, want to make sure I do it right. It's a big feature. I want to make sure go about it right. It's an asset.
All right,
the way I'm looking at it.
100%. It's like I say, it's a big fish.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, oh shit, we did this, you know?
Yeah.
And I think it's very funny that you said Hoodie Vision, you
yeah.
know, because that's crazy. Because the next question here is, what is Hoodie Vision? All right. I'm like, it's a song. But I said, it's a song, but what do you look for when you walk in a room? Let's talk about vision. What is Hoodie Hardaway's vision? I mean, if you want to elaborate on the song, of course, but, you know, I'm also looking at an abstract
mm-hmm.
Hoodie Vision. What do you look for when you walk in a room, man?
All right. Well, immediately when I walk into a room, I look at where all the exits are. Immediately, that's the first thing. But nah, it's just like just good energy. I'm a big energy person, so not even so much seeing, but feeling. I can feel like when there's something going on, I can feel it in the air. I don't like it. Like, I'm a very spiritual, I feel person where, like I said, I could walk into a room and I could just tell, like, you know, people stop talking immediately when you walk into a room. Like, some people don't even notice stuff like that. Like, that's not even in their conscience. I noticed that immediately. I'm like, what were y'all just talking about that?
Yeah.
Y'all just all had to be like, Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, stuff like that. So I feel energies for sure. Like, I definitely try to stay on my toes and be like, I don't know. This person seems like they don't like me or something. They gotta, you know.
No, I respect that, man. That's always important. You know, that's one of those like first impression questions.
Yeah, you know.
Like, what do you look for when you're in a room? So you're looking for exits, and you're also just taking social cues from the people.
Yeah.
More so conversational wise. Yeah. Anything else you can add on to that or no? I'll share what I look for in a room.
Pretty girls.
Pretty girls. You know? I mean, that's a given.
That's
a given. Be like, all right,
that's the brand.
Survey the scene here. I would say something, but I don't think it's appropriate, so I'm not gonna say it. What I look for, man, what I look for when I walk in a room, exits, obviously. When in doubt, know your way out, right? Not because we're on some sketch shit, we're just ready to go whenever we gotta go, bro. This window right here, no screen in it. No screen. So that one's got a screen in it. Nonetheless, we're on the third floor, so if you try to jump, you're fucked.
You got a fire escape?
Nah, bro.
They don't?
Nah, they don't, but they have in the laundry room. All right, there's one building here. There's one apartment here that their fire escape is like a ladder that you would see on top of a work van just posted up against the fucking wall. Like, it works. And funny thing is I actually know this guy. You know what? I'm going to share this story for tea time, okay? We're going to go out. We're going to take a walk. I'm going to show you the fucking setup.
So it's just leaning?
You'll see. You'll see. This is a great story, all right? This guy ended up almost losing his fucking foot. Cause he's and he was my old gym teacher, as a matter of fact. So it's even better when that shit happens. But I look for when in doubt, know your way out. But I also look at where people's hands are.
Smart.
Okay, are they in their pockets? Mm-hmm. Are they out? Are they crossed?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like you got to notice people's hand placement because hands is a big social cue. Because no one knows what to do with them.
Hands in the pocket, you're hiding something.
Yeah,
for sure.
They don't know what to do with them. You know, if you're gathered like this, you know, I'm like, all right, well, that person's probably a prude. You know, like you start to put social cues together. Yeah. That's what I like to figure out. So that's hoodie vision. That's the insight. That's pretty dope. I respect you answering that question. Now, I want to talk to you about my personal favorite track. Okay, from your music here. And nonetheless, guys, Hoodie Hardaway, you know, one reason before we get into that, I want to just say, when it comes to you and your music, right, what I respect the most out of looking from your music and everything is that when you came to me as an artist, you're like, hey, man, I have this project. I'm going to present the project to you first.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm an R&B artist. You basically said what you do, who you are, presented me a project, and then sent me the project, right?
Mm-hmm.
So now we're looking through your music. We're looking through all the discograph and everything. And there is a wide number of music, which is very important, especially if you're coming to do an interview, because now you're giving me a lot to work with. So, with that being said, he does have a wide selection of music, which to me means you're always working on music, which probably means that if you were to disappear off the face of the earth, that there would be tracks to be released after. And I think that's really good on your part.
100%, yeah.
That's really good on your part, man.
And about 500 of them.
Good. Good on you, because that's what I'm saying. Like, J. Cole said it to J.I.D., like, after the conversation, talking to him, like, I could tell that you really want it.
Yeah.
You know, and I've had interviews with people who really want it, but they might not have that much music out, which is fine. Maybe you're starting out, right?
Yeah.
Or they've been in the music game for a long time, and they don't have that much music out, and they don't have anything that's unreleased that they haven't even been working on. Now, when that happens, it's like, okay, are you serious about this, or is it just a phase?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so for you, I'm going to go ahead and use my better of the judgment and say that he is serious about this, and this is not a phase.
Very serious.
So I just wanted to get that out, you know, give you your roses and let you know that.
I appreciate you, for real.
No doubt, bro. I'll let you know that for real. I'm a real person.
Because that's one of the things that I don't hear a lot at all. Like, I'll post snippets. There was a while on Facebook where I was posting a snippet a day, like a new snippet every single day, like for like weeks. And I still do it on Snapchat. Snapchat is more personal for me. I post usually stuff that I'm just working on or whatever. So I posted a whole bunch of stuff on there, and like I'll post every day, like every day when I like probably at like 7 a.m. every day post a new snippet. And very few people ever mention like, damn, when are you finding time, or how do you make so much music? They say that it's good, but very few people, like, because I work too.
Yeah.
So, like, I come home from work at 8 o'clock at night, and I'm up from that time until 7 a.m. making music. And then I go to sleep at 7, wake up at 2:30, go back to work until 8, and then do it all over again. Like, there's literally, so I'm making 7-8 songs in those hour spans sometimes.
Good for you, man. Good for you. And you work at a garage, correct?
Yeah.
So you're doing a labor-intensive job, just like I do a labor-intensive job, bro. You get tired after those days. And having to push through and have that self-determination is it's key. You know, it's just being able to continue to go on. And what I like to say is, all right, time to start the fourth part of the day. You know, people like to break the day into three parts. You know, all right, let's do the fourth part, the late night.
Exactly. Let's that's tap in. Like, and I feel like that's another reason, too, why... Like, I feel like I can't really record too much during the daytime. I like the darkness. I like it being dark outside. I like it, the lights off. I'd be having my blackout curtains, all that. It'd be pitch dark. I'm in my closet, in my room.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, a lot of your work is organic.
Yeah.
It's real. So, and with that being said, you know, I want to talk about my favorite track, which is the track titled Alone. Okay.
Okay.
Alone. All right. I like sad shit.
Yeah, it's not bad.
You know, Alone is a really, really good song. So with that song, I thought about an artist that I could kind of like say it gave me this type of vibe. Maybe you know him, maybe you don't. His name is Mike. Okay, he used to go by Mike Stud.
I've heard that before.
Okay, so just
I have heard that before.
Just off of the vibes, if you know Mike, period, or Mike Stud, if you listen to Hoodie Hardaway's track Alone. That's the type of vibe that I got off of it. I really enjoyed that track. Now, why I really enjoyed that track, I wrote it right here. I said, slow, honest, subtle, and then in caps, I wrote real. You know, and the outro is really, really dope. Okay? So he has an outro in this track, right? And I wrote it like verbatim as best as I could, kind of loosely, might be a little bit off a little bit, but this is what you said. One of the coolest things that I'm experiencing now as far as people responding to my music and songs that I wrote is that it really is me and people really fuck with it. So they'll be like, if they fuck with your music, then you're like, then they're fucking with me.
Yeah. And that's actually Frank Ocean. That's talking.
What?
And I sampled it from an interview because
I thought that was you.
That's exactly how it feels. Like there's nobody that I have been able to see that can, cause I was looking for a way to describe it. Like it's a surreal feeling. Like when people genuinely, like I've had people send me paragraphs about how, like I help them through their day, like they listen to my music, it motivates them, stuff like that. Like that stuff, that is like the best, that there's nothing better in the world than that to me. So like when I heard that interview, I'm a huge Frank Ocean fan too, by the way. That's
legend.
Like, yeah, he's I actually saw him in Little Italy two times ago I was in New York City. That's a different story though, but he's a huge inspiration to me. So I remember he did an interview with MTV a long time ago, and that was the interview, and that always stuck with me. Like after I started to feel it, I remembered like going back to that interview and like, wow, like this is what he was talking about in that interview. I get it now. I understand. Especially like you said, when it's like real, that's the part that really stuck out to me. Cause it's like, if somebody messes with the music, they mess with it because of me. It's not because of anything else. I'm not really making too much up. I have some filler lines in there where I might say some bullshit, but most of the time it's 100% organic and really how I'm living.
Yeah, that was a really good song, Alone. I felt like that was something that you actually really did live, maybe with someone who you were in love with at some point. Absolutely. You know, a lot of people.
It gets like that.
You ever cry while you're recording a track?
Yeah, but not those.
Okay.
Surprisingly, not like the love songs, really. It's more so like the ones where I'm talking about where I was compared to where I'm at now. Those, especially if the beat's right. Like the beat's what makes people cry.
Gotcha.
A lot of times. It's not 100%. The word. Some of those chords will do it.
Little sidebar here. You ever watch that movie Up?
Absolutely.
Okay, you know what fucking track makes me want to cry?
Yeah.
The one with him and Ellie in the beginning.
With the
piano. Like, anytime I hear that shit, I'm like, damn, sadness.
Yeah.
Like, that shit is
sad. That movie's rough.
That little 5-minute excerpt from the movie Up. You ever see the movie Up? You know, where Ellie and the man, you know, growing up, dies, can't even have a kid.
Yeah, that was rough.
That shit's sad. That shit is sad. Disney
and they had,
then
they have
up.
Like their savings all in a jar or something too. Like, oh man,
fucking,
oof, that was rough. That's the inspiration.
That's a great movie. That's a great movie. But okay, so that was Frank Ocean, but nonetheless, it's still correlated to you. So
100%.
That's very
very
cool.
Took the words out of my mouth.
And then use that again. Use that snippet again, and change up.
Did I?
Yes, you did.
Oh,
am I bugging?
No, maybe. I think I did. I think I did. Maybe I did, yeah. Like I said, it'd be so much music anymore, man.
So change up, it was like, so you use the same snippet, right?
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, That's dope. They use the same snippet. I was wondering, and since you're like, did I? I'm wondering if you remember why you put that snippet on there again. Do you? Because it's
probably the it is a different tone of the song,
different right. tempo.
I think it was more so just like it just be hitting in certain moments like that. I always go back to that interview because it just like he was so genuine. You could tell like there's not many artists you get to see at that point. So it just I related to it so hard. That's probably why I ended up using it again. I probably didn't even realize that I did it twice, to be honest with you. But that's it's just something that I just think is so surreal, especially because like people don't understand how crazy it is when you think about something in your head to bring it to fruition. And then not only bring it to fruition, but have people really like enjoy it and really mess with it. It's just like, I wish everybody could feel that. Like, you know, like even you with the podcast, like you understand what it's like to have an idea in your head, create it, put it out and have people receive it. Like it's just an underrated blessing that we're able to do as humans that people don't tap into enough, I feel like.
Yeah, I mean, it's okay that people don't tap into it too much because maybe we don't need all those people to tap into it. You know what I mean? Like, I was talking to someone the other day about, like, someone wanted to start a podcast about, like, trauma, like, boyfriend trauma. Yeah. And I was like, that's great. But, like, how many boyfriends have you gone through that have caused trauma for you? Yeah. You know, so I was like, I don't know about that one. I don't know about that one. But, yeah, man, you're big in underground music.
Absolutely.
Would you want to remain, let's say you make it, right? Would you want to remain in the underground scene? Or would you, because I feel like you really want to highlight, you mentioned Joey Badass in the past. Yeah. You know, I fuck with Joey. He's crazy, you know, underground. Mm-hmm. But go ahead, continue.
There's a, it depends. Like, I like the idea of not being famous. I don't like the idea of being everybody knowing where I'm at 24/7, everybody knowing that I have lots of money 24/7 and where they can find me with lots of money. I don't like that idea at all. That is like terrifying to me, but I also do want like the accomplishments. You know what I'm saying? Like, cause this is a sport to me. Yeah. This is a sport to me. So it'd be like LeBron James going to play basketball, but not caring about the winning a ring or being MVP. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is my sport. Like, I'm competitive with this, you know? So like I'm recording songs like they're like I'm putting up jump shots. So like I really want the accolades, you know, like of course I want a Grammy, I want all that, you know, but at the same time though, like 40,000-50,000 people in a fan base that I could live in a nice house with a nice car, just make music for a living. I'm cool with that too.
Live comfortably.
Yeah. That's comfortably. More than okay with me. But the goal is Grammys. I'm trying to take over the world for real.
That'd be tough.
Yeah.
That'd be tough. I respect it, man. Yeah. Kate, stay headstrong, man. And with that being said, you know, we're going to get ready to wrap up the podcast here. We're going to transition into tea time soon. Before we get off the air here, I'd like to give my guest the floor. Any inspirational messages that you feel that you want to share with the people? Anywhere that people can find you? Upcoming music we can look forward to? You know, the floor is yours.
All right. First of all, I just want to let everybody know. Well, all right. First of all, let me thank everybody who've been showing love recently, supporting. I appreciate y'all to the fullest. I wouldn't be able to do this without y'all, for real. Like, y'all make it way easier to get better because of the supportive words, everything you guys say. So I just want to thank everybody out there who's showing love, everybody who shows support. I want to shout out DJ, Chris, Stir Fry. Y'all know who y'all are. Troy. There's too many people, y'all. I can't shout out everybody, so don't be mad at me. But Casey, that's the last one for now. But and just everybody, just do what you want to do. Do with your life. Like, don't let people get in your way. Don't let other people dictate what you want to do. If you want to do something, do it. Don't let fear get in your way, because fear kills dreams before they even can start. And that's just 100% fact. There was a while where I was scared to tell people that I made music. I thought it was corny, all that. Man, don't let that stuff get to you, bro. Just do what you do. Drop music, even if it's trash, it'll get better. And those same people who used to call you trash will turn around and they'll be like, oh, yo, this is so good. So don't worry about none of that, man. Just chase your dreams for real. I'm living proof. I did some things that I never thought I could do in 2 years.
All right. Well, hey, thank you, Hoodie Hardaway, for coming and joining me here at the Middleman Podcast. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you.
It's been a pleasure. Everyone, please stick around for tea time, not brought to you by, but inspired by Arizona Iced Tea. I am the man in the middle, Kevin Martinez, signing out. Peace.
Hey, hoops. This shit crazy.
All right. I know what you're thinking. Kev, seriously? Another ad? Are you serious, bro? But listen. If you're enjoying this conversation, you really want to listen to this ad, okay? Listen, I got good news for you. We have exclusive bonus content strictly on YouTube after this podcast with the same guests, right? Check this out. And this segment is called Tea Time, right? Now, Tea Time is not brought to you by, but inspired by Arizona Iced Tea. So that's right. Do yourself a favor. Go out there, buy yourself an Arizona Iced Tea, and join us strictly on YouTube for extra bonus content on Tea Time. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you there. Don't forget to like, comment, and subscribe.